Today's title of the message is A Language of the Spirit. There are more languages than we care to realize. And today we're going to deal with dreams and visions. Last week we talked about an uncompromised life. And an uncompromised life immediately brings us into understanding that there is a realm that we don't fully understand, but God wants to talk to us. And that is through dreams and visions. So if you would turn to Daniel, the second chapter, we will be reading verses 1 through 13. And it says, in the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, the astrologers to tell him what he had dreamt. And when they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, I have had a dream that troubles me and I want to know what it means. And then the astrologers answered the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will interpret it. The king replied to the astrologers, This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me. Once more, they replied, Let the king tell his servants the dream and we will interpret it. And the king answered, I am certain that you are trying to gain time because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you will not tell me the dream, there is just one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then, tell me the dream. I will know that you can interpret it for me. The astrologers answered the king, There is not a man on earth who can do what the king has asked. No king, however, great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of the magicians or the enchanters or astrologers. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live amongst men. This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men in Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. Language of the Spirit. Today, God is trying to communicate to us in two types of visions to get us to understand that we are operating in a realm that very few desire to go. And even fewer are there and operate in its full function. And because there's been a ton of bad teaching, what has happened to the Church of Jesus Christ is that they would say that it is of the devil, or they shun it altogether, closing off the opportunity for the Spirit of God to minister to us, to talk to us, to reveal to us the important things that are about to happen. Those who have been with us from the beginning have understood that the vision that God has given to us has been coming to pass, has slowly but surely been coming to pass, and realize that the only thing that we can say is, I have been uncompromised in allowing God to do what he wants to do. Just like Daniel. And that doesn't mean that we're horrible and wretched people. What it means is you got to grow up. You got to grow out of your selfishness and self-centeredness, because your gifts and talents I need, just like you need my gifts and talents. And if we're flowing in the Spirit, I need to hear what God is saying to you, because you don't know what God's saying to me. And as we begin to start having this rapport and understanding of what God is sharing, we begin to start putting these pieces together like never before, and we're able to see more clearly what the Father wants to do in preparing his people. It is God's will to communicate with us. He wants to communicate with us. He died to restore a relationship with us. And so it is imperative on our end to eliminate everything that would hinder us from having this relationship with him, because he is more important than any other thing, including ourselves. That is how important he is. He values us and wants to talk to us. but not talk to us in a way that would be so juvenile. He wants to talk to us so that the rest of the body of Jesus Christ can hear what he's doing and not be caught unaware. Amen? Joel 2, 28 and 29 says, "Then after these things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. And in those days I will pour out my spirit upon the servants, men and women alike." The prophet Joel states very clearly that in the last days of which we are, that God is pouring out his spirit, which he is, so that dreams and visions are our realities. And today we've had two testify that they've had visions, which makes them young people. Because old people dream dreams. And I'm somewhere in between because I do both. Lucky me. I'm in denial or I'm in total acceptance. Whatever the case is, I just want God to use me. But we have to understand that God has a time frame for humankind. And as we've been seeing in the book of Revelation, that John's revelation, his vision, he wrote down so that everyone who reads that book will be blessed. How are they blessed? They're blessed because they know or will come to know the exact timetable for the end of things. And we can go out and tell people that the end is almost here. And those of us that have been paying attention know we're at the doorstep of the end of human history as we know it. If you don't know that and if you don't believe that, shame on you. Because that's where we are. Because that's what God has said. Jesus Christ died on a cross so that we could have a relationship with him. And part of having this relationship is he communicates through a language. He either communicates a language through our spirit language, we talk in tongues, or he uses dreams or visions, or any other means that he wishes. He could use a donkey to talk to us. He could use another heathen to speak to us. We have to be open to hear the voice of the living God. Just like I was there when the owner of the property had come to me and I could hear God saying, "I'm going to give you this building and I'll do whatever it takes to make sure you get it." That was real clear to me that God was saying this. But we have to understand that we are in dreams and vision times and that all of us have them from time and to time. Dreams occur when we're asleep. They consist of images or thought pictures within our minds. They are mental images that can be subjective revelations, and they can either be in black or white in color. I dream in color. I see myself in these dreams. I see what God's doing, and he speaks to me. Do I remember all the time? No. And neither did Nebuchadnezzar. Visions occur when we are awake, to gaze or to perceive. It's what I call the real TV of the spirit realm. It is actually happening. We see outside of ourselves. It is the objective revelation that only human sight can see. Not everybody sees because it is controlled by the human spirit. The spirit is in tune to allow us to see what is going on in the spirit realm. Whether it's an angel who's speaking deliverance into people's lives, or the image of the Lion of Judah, which is Christ, our victor, and our victory, speaking of overcoming. Both speak of, to me, as God saying that, you know, if we submit by faith, we will have the victory. He wants to appropriate this victory into our lives, not to hinder us, but to continue to go forward in our lives. Both dreams and visions must be tested. How? By the Word and with the help of the Holy Spirit. So if we're not in the Word, guess what? We are susceptible to lies because not all dreams and visions come from God. Some come from ourselves. We could be contemplating things and thinking about things that when we put our head down on a pillow, we just dream something and it's like really whacked out. And we're like, man, what the heck was all that about? And I really believe that's what was happening with Nebuchadnezzar. He was consumed about something that was going on, that this dream consumed him totally. And he had this dream, and he was thinking about this dream so much that he forgot what the dream was, but it agitated his spirit. Have you ever had a dream that you come out and it's like, what the heck is all that about? Don't remember it, but you know what? It's bugging me. Nebuchadnezzar was so bugged that he called his wise guys, his wise men, soothsayers, whoever. He called all those who practiced the black arts and Daniel and his friends to come and tell him what the dream was and interpret the dream. It's not only God's will for you to have dreams and visions, it is God's will for you to comprehend what He is saying. Because it may not just be for you, it may be for someone within the local body, it may be somebody in the network that we're lining up with, it may be for whoever. We have to begin to start thinking out of the little box that our lives are contained in, and not even consider these things anymore, because God has a greater purpose for us. Those of us that have been tested through the years really realize what God's doing. He is speaking. He is ever speaking. He is always trying to communicate with us. The problem is we don't listen to Him, or we don't have our receptors up to listen to Him, or what He has to say doesn't matter because I know more than God does. Turn to Job, 33rd chapter. Job is the oldest book in the Bible, and it has tremendous wealth, illustrations that we should pay attention to, starting in verse 14 through 18. It says, "For God speaks again and again, but the people do not recognize it. He speaks in dreams, in visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in their beds. He whispers in their ears and terrifies them with warnings. He makes them turn from doing wrong. He keeps them from pride. He protects them from the grave, from crossing over the river of death." Remember, I've said God's always speaking. We're just not paying attention. And when we have a dream, we don't pay attention to the dream. We have a vision. Oh, that was nice, you know. And we get all puffed up. We get puffed up like we are somebody special. And the whole purpose of this is God's trying to say, you're not special. You're a vessel. And I'm trying to pour something into you so that you could pour out to others so that they may be blessed. And when it terrifies us, it may be to the point that to keep us from sinning. I know of a case recently, someone was sharing some dreams with me about their lives. And I just said to him, real easy, I said, God's showing me to tell you that if you don't pay attention to this, you're going to sin. And now think about this sin that's going to happen if you pay attention to what the enemy is saying to you, that it's going to be devastating. It's going to cost you your family. It's going to cost you your relationship to your children. It's going to cost you your job. And this person's eyes got real big and all. I said, but God has warned you ahead of time that when this temptation comes to you, you could sweep it away from you and say, I'm not going to have anything, thereby protecting yourself from sinning and losing what God has built into your life and into your family. You see how it works? Not that I'm special or anything, but I'm using the gifts that God has given to me to help someone within the church. That is what it's all about. It's not whether He uses me and, I'm more spiritual than you. No. We use these gifts for what? To edify one another. To reach those who are in darkness and bring them out of darkness. And we're poo-pooing and woo-wooing our little plight situations because we've decided not to listen to God and do things the way we want to do things. And God is trying to warn us time and time and time again that, you know what? I want to deliver you out of these things, but you will not pay attention. Isn't that what Job is trying to get us to pay attention here? This is a language of the Spirit that we really don't pay attention to. Or if it does strike our heart, what's the first inclination that we have? We remember this dream. And what's the first thing we do? We go look for somebody to interpret, right? Yo, hey, I had this dream. And this dream said this, this, and this, and this. What do you think? What do you mean you don't know? I had this dream. And it said this, this, and this. What do you think? And we will run around to find somebody to tell us good stuff in the dream. We don't want to hear about the bad stuff in the dream because, you know what? It can't be God. God wants to bless me. God wants to keep me on the proverbial golden streets, right? He wants me to live a life happily. And God's trying to reveal our hearts. He's trying to reveal a future event that's going to come. And he wants us to be prepared so that when it does come, we will appropriate the victory in Jesus Christ, that we can slap that temptation away from us and move through. Maintaining a lifestyle that is not compromised. That's all God wants us to do. He wants us to help each other to get through this. And when he speaks to us, that is important. When we go and we look for somebody, we fail to realize some things. First of all, when we go to somebody and ask for them to interpret the dream, we fail to realize they got the same nature as we do. It's fallen. So thereby, it's going to be a misinterpretation, not the interpretation, right? Second, we assumed that if it's bad, it's not God. When we know here the Word of God says that He warns us. And third, in our ignorance, we fail to pay attention because, first of all, we fear what we don't know. And because we don't know God, we don't know how He wants to communicate with us, we fear that. Not seeing that God loves us so much that He will do whatever He needs to do, even to keep you awake at night, to distress your spirit so that He can reveal His love to you by warning you and warning me about something that's coming in the future. After all, He wrote the future. He's the author and finisher of everything. He knows what's going on, and He's looking around to see who's paying attention to Him. For what purpose? So that we don't fall into the traps and snares that the enemy is laying out before us. You see, the enemy knows that his time is short. And he wants to take as many of us down. And he wants to keep as many that he has in bondage to go to hell with him. That's not what we're about. We're about winning the loss and bringing them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. So Nebuchadnezzar knows that his people that is supposed to be involved and know these spiritual things throws them a curveball and does not tell them what the dream is. He knows that they are postponing stuff. They're trying to coax something out of the king so that they can misinterpret and misconstrue what God is trying to say to him. And he's wise enough to realize that, you know what? You don't tell me what I need to know. You're dead. You're dead. Who were the magicians? The magicians were those who practiced the black arts. They used these black arts in such a way to foretell the future or to falsely prophesy a future. And we know that demons will work in such a way to make something happen in our lives. Okay? Astrologers were worshippers of the stars, and they believed that they could see the future in the stars and then foretell what was going on. We have that going on today. Sorcerers communicated with the demonic and the dead to foretell the future. We call that familiar spirits. We know that these individuals when dealing with the demonic are not right. They believe lies. Demons can help make things come to pass to make you believe that what they're saying is true to keep you away from God, to take you away from God. And Nebuchadnezzar was smart enough. And then the wise guys or the wise men, the Chaldeans, were the philosophers who used drugs to induce divination and science to obtain the supernatural knowledge to foretell the future, of which the scriptures tell us that it is forbidden by the people of God to participate or initiate and be involved with such a practice. And we know that King Saul went to the witch of Endor and to call the spirit of Solomon up. And she knew who he was. And said to Saul, "Will you kill me? Are you tempting to kill me?" And he goes, No. Just call Samuel up. And I want to talk to him. But your life will be spared." How sad it was for a leader who knows God, who knew God, to fall so far away from God that he calls a witch to bring up the spirit of Samuel. And today, the world is the modern Babylonia. We are living in a Babylonian society, of which when we get into Revelation, I believe it's the 19th chapter, talks about the destruction of Babylon, because this world system is corrupt. We understand that there is an increase into the knowledge of the dark arts or spiritualists. We know that kids are practicing witchcraft. We know that kids are involved in all kinds of stuff. They're worshiping Wicca, which is the worship of the natural earth. There's Mother Earth worship. There's all kinds of things. And yet they come into the church, and we call this strange gods that they worship. Or when they offer sacrifices, it's strange fire. Of which, again, Scripture tells us that this is punishable by death. And we know that a couple sons who was it? No, the one that fell over backwards. Eli, his sons offered strange fire and they died. But we know that God is trying to speak to his people to warn us to stay away from this nonsense. The problem is our society is trying to corrupt our minds and teach us that this stuff is okay. We understand that God's people is inquisitive about the supernatural, and they should be. But they should be seeking it in the realm of the church, not in the realm of the demonic. They're involved in witchcraft, ghost hunting, hypnotism, abortion, charms, casting of spells, seances, astrology, tripping, using drugs, palmistry, numerology, the occult, Ouija boards, crystals, rainbow cults, UFOs, Eastern mysticism, yoga, martial arts, pyramidology, channeling, tarot cards, spiritualists, and more and more and more, of which the people of God is involved. And that doesn't even go into fantasizing. That doesn't go into the soap operas and stuff like that. The demonic is active, and it is seducing the people of God. And God is trying to get us to understand that this stuff has to be cut off, or you'll be cut off. That is not God's heart. That is not his will. He wants you to be strong in the power of his might. And Daniel is being called into this. He didn't practice these things, but he was being called in with these guys. And these are all signs of the last days. We know that we are in the last days because the increase of the demonic that is going on in our lives, all around us. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. And the truth of what the Chaldeans or the wise guys said was, There is no man on earth who can tell the king such a matter. There's no one. No one can tell you the dream that you're having but Jesus Christ. No one can interpret it except Jesus Christ. And you've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ in order to find out what Jesus Christ is trying to tell you. I can help, I can steer you, I can direct you, but you've got to cultivate it. You've got to be the one who has a lifestyle that is filled with uncompromise. And the reason why we don't is because we are compromising in every area of our lives. I'm not saying we are, but the church on a whole. And we're wondering why our lives are in the toilet. We burn bridges only to try to cross the next one before this the fire on the bridge that we're burning doesn't burn us. And God is trying to get us to understand that eventually you're going to run out of bridges to cross. Because there's going to be a bridge in front of you that's already been burnt. Then what do? And that's exactly what's happening here. That is exactly what is happening. Nebuchadnezzar, in his second year of reign, understood. He saw the lies that all these guys were doing. They were lying to his father. They were lying to him. And now they're trying to spare the time and say, "Yo, oh king, tell us what the dream is. And we'll interpret it." Anybody can do that. Look at your lives. Look and see what God is trying to do in your life. And see what He's trying to say to you. And how much of it are you paying attention to? You don't need me to interpret your life. You need Jesus Christ to straighten it out. And this is what Nebuchadnezzar is trying to get his people to understand. Only in this verse, in verse 10, are they finally speaking the truth. They can't tell the king what the dream is, and they can't tell him what it means. Because they don't have a relationship with the living God. And those who call on the name of Jesus Christ, who practice such things, that are involved in such things, God says they're an abomination to Him. I don't say that. He says it. And that's just the spiritual aspect. Then we're talking about the demonic that causes us to sin in our morals, in our ethics. And we compromise our value system in there. Are we married to Jesus Christ or are we not? Or are you an unfaithful bride? I mean, it just comes down to who you're married to. Daniel sold his life out. He was married to God. And he was not going to allow anything enter into his life that would contaminate him or pollute his spirit. No matter being involved in those circles, because he loved God. And he knew that no matter what God was going to allow to go for him to go through, even in this point now, that his life is on the line. Remember I said to you guys, you've got to already have the mindset that you're dead. Because if you even value your life, you'll lose it. If you desire to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lost your life, you'll save it. Who am I living for? What does my life say? Is my life filled with compromise in which I just sweet talk everybody till I can get across that bridge and get what I want? Or is my life in such a way that I help someone cross a bridge that they've been struggling with at my own expense? You see, you're already dead in Jesus Christ. That's what my Bible says. Do we sin because we have grace and then sin all the more, get more grace? No. What the Word is telling us is that your life has to change. And what you're responsible for, you're not responsible for my life and Ed's life. You're responsible to get rid of the sin in your life because it will kill you and separate you from your God. And all this other stuff is designed to keep you away from the living God. All of it. The world is not our friend, nor the stuff in it. It is designed to contaminate you and me and to keep us from living a life of victory in Jesus Christ. We got everything in heaven because He is our inheritance. And what God has, it's ours. We just need to cultivate our minds in such a way that when we have a dream and when we have a vision, we need to ask God, what is it that you're trying to communicate to us? When we gather together and we share, you know what, I had this dream. You'd be surprised how many people during that week are having something very similar. What is God trying to get us to hear and to understand? Without a relationship in Jesus Christ, just like it's set up here today, you're lost. Without to live a life in this world without Jesus Christ, you're lost. I thank God. I just realized I've been walking with Him for 25 years. I thank God that He brought me out of the pit. I thank God that He saved my marriage. I thank God that He delivered me from drugs. I thank God that He gave me a job that could meet my family's needs. I thank God that now He's chosen me and found me faithful in His house to begin to preach His gospel and share His word for people to understand how much He loves them. I thank God for you. Because without you guys, we wouldn't be able to tackle this town and win it for Jesus Christ. You see, there's a bigger picture. And I don't need anybody, I don't need any Tom, Dick, or Harry to try to interpret it for me. What I need to do is find out what Father says. Next week, we'll find out what the dream is and what it means and how it's going to affect us. Remember I said that Daniel tells us when Messiah comes, Daniel tells us how God's going to deal with Israel. And I have to lay this foundation in Daniel to get us back into Revelation so that we can see clearly how God spoke over 2,000 years ago, about 2,500 years ago, He spoke to Daniel about these end times and how they're coming to pass. It's time for us to really understand that things are going to accelerate. And it's a two highway. Remember the teaching on the highway to hell? You're either going to speed up on your path to self-destruction, or you're going to speed up in being used of God. There is no plateau in which you hit and rest. You'll either be used or you will be abused. Those are your choices. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the living God. And I pray that you guys make the same decision to continue a life without compromise. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for Daniel, Lord. I thank you, Father, that He gives us illustrations and lessons to understand that God, that you are the author and finisher of everything, God. Help us to discern what is of you, God, and discard everything that is of us or of the demonic, God. Father, cleanse us from all those areas of unrighteousness and compromise, God, as we speak out to you those areas of sin that we thought had nothing to do with anything, God. It was unimportant. But to realize, God, that everything is important to you. God, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us of our ignorance. Forgive us of our selfishness and self-centeredness, Lord. and take us to the next level of maturity. Lord, we want to walk with you. We want to hold your hand. We want to hear the extravagant things that you have for each and every one of us, God. We want to see you work in our lives. We want to see you restore our lives. We want to see you be glorified in our lives, God. So, Father, as we go forth this day, may we be mindful, God, that as you give us dreams and visions, to ask you what they are. And if we're not sure what they are, God, help us to be in your word to discern what is of you and what is not of you. Holy Spirit, speak to us. You are to lead us in all paths of truth, in all righteousness. You are our teacher, our tutor, our comforter and friend. Father, may we ever be mindful to look to you. From this point on, God, it will be critical for us to really pay attention so that we aren't tripped up, that we could expose the works of the evil, Lord, and really allow the love of Jesus Christ to cover a multitude of sin. I thank you for those here today, God, and ask that you bless them richly. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.